So as we get closer to game time, we go down to Arizona to Chase Field and bring in a wonderful beat writer for the Arizona Republic. And I love talking to him over the winter and seeing him in spring training. That is Nick Pecoro. Nick, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good, Marty. How's it going?
Very good, and thanks for coming on. I know that Chip Hale's going to talk rather soon, and I know you want to get in there. But what happened with the roof? Don't you guys pay your bills, and you can't get the roof straight?
It's the strangest thing, isn't it? It's happened a couple other times, I think, this season. Last time when the Mets were in town, and it doesn't even rain that often in Phoenix, as everybody knows. And yet, when it does, and it comes down pretty good, there's always this little leak right by the pitcher's mound. So it's like, of all places, you know, for there to be a leak in the roof, it has to drop right down on the guy that's throwing the baseball.
Yeah, we saw it last night, and there was also, I think, behind home plate, there was a big puddle there as well. What do? Do they stop the game when that happens? And, of course, I know it's monsoon season down there. I'm not there, you know, in the summer. This must come up. What do? Just work over the mound again?
Yeah, they just bring the grounds crew out and try to dry it out a little bit when they can when it starts to get bad. But no, they just play right through it, and the pitchers come back to the dugouts with wet hats and damp uniforms.
All right, Nick Pecoro with us, Arizona Republic. Nick, today on the show I've talked a lot about these next couple of weeks. Teams will disappear. You know, they're so close to that second wild card or the wild card or the division. Then all of a sudden, over 2 weeks, you go from 4 back to 10 back or from 5 back to 9 back, and you look at it differently. Where do the Diamondbacks fit into that?
I don't know. They have an interesting team. They went into the All-Star break with the highest average runs per game in the National League, but they just can't seem to get their pitching straight. And it's one of those deals where it seems like when a couple of guys start to throw well, a couple of guys kind of fall off. So, you know, it's just going to come down to how that rotation goes. I mean, they've got Patrick Corbin back. Robbie Ray, who threw last night, threw pretty well through 5 innings before the pitch count got up there. So, you know, those are kind of the guys that are leading the way right now. But we'll just see if the others, you know, Chase Anderson can be a little more consistent. Jeremy Hellickson has kind of been a little up and down, see if those guys can kind of stabilize.
Tell us about Chase Anderson, because he pitched the one hitter against the Giants earlier, and Arizona leads this season series 7-4. But lately, as I warned everybody, I said, order your Amici's pizza now and be sitting down for the first inning. He's had tremendous first-inning trouble. What happened with him?
Yeah, they've got a few guys in their rotation. Chase Hellickson and Ruby De La Rosa, who was originally a Dodger, you might remember from a few years back. They're all kind of undersized right-handed pitchers, and they all tend to give up a lot of home runs. I think that it has to do with them, you know, kind of not having a whole lot of downward plane on their pitches. And so when they leave a ball up, and even if it's, you know, hard in the mid-90s like Ruby can throw, they're often punished for that. So yeah, that's kind of what's been going on with Anderson lately. He's given up a lot of home runs in his last 4 starts, really getting hurt by it. But, you know, when he keeps the ball down, he's got that fastball changeup combo. It's pretty good, but it's all about getting it down.
Well, all right. Well, that's the story of Mike Leake, I guess, is sort of in that, the 6-foot right-hander. Bolsinger, we saw him when he was a Diamondback, the big curveball. All right, that's a good point. That's why they like tall pitchers, to get that downward plane. That's a good point. Nick, will the Diamondbacks be a buyer, a seller, or just develop what they have when the 31st comes around?
I think that they're open to being buyers, but I think it's going to have to be the right type of player. What Tony La Russa keeps telling us is that he's not interested in acquiring a rental. It's going to have to be somebody that's going to help him in 2016 or beyond, as well as the rest of this season. Of course, when you're talking about those kinds of guys, you're going to have to give up a lot more to acquire them. I mean, look at what a year and a half of control of Jeff Samardzija cost Oakland last year. So we'll see if that guy, you know, presents himself in a trade, and if the Diamondbacks are willing to give up what it takes. They've got some chips down there for sure in the farm system. I don't think it's quite as brimming with talent as it has been in years past. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I do think an arm could make a difference in this rotation, but they have some issues in other areas of the roster as well. I mean, you saw bullpen have a little bit of trouble protecting that lead last night. So they're probably not just simply one pitcher away. It's more a matter of getting that one arm and then having some other guys step up.
Yeah, do you feel, are they optimistic we're still in this thing, or are they saying, well, let's see what happens? Because you look at the second wild card, let's say it's the Cubs right now Cubs at 47-41 and Arizona 42-46. So they're really like five games behind the second wild card. So what's the mood? Hey, we're in it, or let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I think they're telling us that they think they're in it. I think probably deep down they're just really happy to be where they are right now, coming off of the season where they lost 98 games.
Right.
They're kind of committed to certain areas developmentally. Like I said, Robbie Ray is in this rotation, I would assume, for the rest of the season. Ruby De La Rosa has had quite a lot of ups and downs this season, and they're sticking with him in the rotation. I think that they're committed to trying to develop these guys, and they've got a lot of young players across the field as well that they're getting lots of at bats. So, I would imagine if you gave them the truth serum, they're saying, look, we're going to play these young guys. We're kind of aiming more toward the future, and if it works out this year, then great.
Gotcha. No, I agree with that. I think that's a good assessment of it. Yesterday, right at the deadline, they signed their number one pick, the number one pick in the draft. That went down right to the wire. Was there any doubt it was going to happen? What was the holdup?
I don't know. They haven't really given us an awful lot of details in terms of what was going on there. It seems like most clubs nowadays in the draft, they're cutting these deals beforehand. I don't think the Diamondbacks did that with Swanson. It was pretty obvious, given that they have almost $2 million left in their draft spending, that they weren't, they didn't really approach the draft the way that some of these other clubs have, like Houston the last few years, getting Carlos Correa number one overall and cutting a deal and, spreading that money around elsewhere. The Diamondbacks didn't really do that. So I think it was just a matter of going down to the wire and take it or leave it type of thing.
How do you like Yasmani Tomas? Seeing him in spring training, I see him now as we go through the season. You got to see him all the time. Tell me a little bit about him, because intriguing kind of player, good power, and he's really, I think, it to me, looks like he's been all right in the field.
Yeah, he's had some issues in the field. He hasn't been the... I think when we watched him at third base, I can't remember if you were around much when he was playing third in spring training, there was sort of a feeling this guy might be the worst third baseman, we've ever seen. It didn't really make sense why they were running him out there. And they wound up getting him some action in the big leagues at third base when Jake Lamb went down early in the season, and he kind of held his own. He wasn't, all that good, but he was okay, and he's kind of the same in the outfield. Offensively, it's been really impressive. It's kind of interesting because he's such a different player than what we were expecting. I was kind of led to believe that this was a big hulking 30 home run, right, low average, high strikeout guy. He's kind of been the opposite of that in a lot of ways. He really knows what he's doing at the plate. He sprays the ball all around, kind of an inside out swing sometimes. Tons of raw power, but he hasn't gotten to it a lot. I imagine as he gets more comfortable plate and learns the league and kind of learns himself as a hitter a little bit more, that he'll probably tap into that power a little bit more.
Yeah, I like him. As I say, we did see him down there, and I remember talking to some of the scouts. I said, look, he's at third base now, but forget it. There's no way in the world this guy could ever play third. And he started hitting a lot of balls to right center and opened up a few eyes. But I think he's had a nice season, hasn't he?
For sure. Yeah. I think it's very encouraging. I think we're seeing, what they saw to compel him to spend $68 million on him as a free agent. I would like to see a little bit more power. I'd like to see him drive the ball a little bit more. He has a crazy number of like infield hits, which is kind of inflating his numbers a little bit. But I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I think this is a really encouraging start to his career.
All right, Nick Pecora with us. Nick, one last thought for you. Tomorrow's Patrick Corbin, left-hander. Now, the Giants have hit him hard. I think up here they've hit him hard. Down there they haven't done much from them, or vice versa. But he's coming back from Tommy John. He's had two starts, like a Matt Cain, and you know, a little bit inconsistent. What should we expect at least to see from him tomorrow?
Well, I think he looks very much like the guy he was before, which is a really encouraging sign. I know the results haven't necessarily been there. At least they weren't in the later part of his second start the other day. He gave up 3 home runs to the last 7 batters he faced against the Mets. But the fastball was up to 96 early in the game. The slider was still that kind of sweepy. It's a pretty darn good pitch, man. I mean, it kind of reminded me of a left-handed version of the one that Garrett Cole threw in the All-Star game, too. I think he struck out Mike Trout with it. It covers so much of the plate left to right. And I feel like he kind of tired against the Mets the other day. And you know, it takes a little bit of time to kind of build up the endurance to you know, get through 6 innings of a big league game. You can do that all you want in the minor leagues. It's just not the same when you're up here. I expect him to have a little bit of inconsistency as he, you know, goes about his business. And this is, you know, his first year back from the surgery. It's just kind of the way it goes with a lot of guys. But from what I've seen stuff-wise, it's really encouraging. And I think that, you know, if he isn't back by the end of this year, I think next year he'll be the guy that he was in 2013.
Well, he's got his hands full with Madison Bumgarner tomorrow, so we'll see how that one plays out. Nick, a pleasure to have you with us. Overall, and again, chatting with you guys when you're up here and everybody else, I think this has been a step in the right direction for Arizona. They can hit. They give you trouble. Every time they turn that order over, they can hit. But, again, you got to pitch really consistently, and I think that's the issue. But I'd say a step in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, even last night, they give up that run. They bring the tying run on base. It's been like that every game. I mean, it seems like there just haven't been any very many games where they've been out of it. They bring that tying run up. They put pressure on the opposition for 9 innings. It's kind of fun to watch, even if they are, you know, even if they have more losses than wins.
All right, Nick, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you again, and get that roof fixed, will you? I can give you a good roofer if you need it.
Thanks, Marty. Be safe.
All right, take care. That's Nick Pecoro of the Arizona Republic. A pleasure having him on. All right, good report on the Diamondbacks and Chase Anderson. Little bit of an undersized righty. Good point. As you picture this, you know, the big, tall right-hander, you know, the Jeff Samardzija throws it over the top. Ball comes down at you. A little tougher to lift it. Undersized right-hander coming off the mound, maybe a little straighter at you. And if he gets too much of the plate and doesn't get that downward motion on his pitch, the home runs happen. That's happened to Mike Leake, and it happened to Chase Anderson quite a bit. So good insight, I thought, from Nick on that one. All right.